All right, and we're back for another part train. We got Strat and I. Serm couldn't make it. What's going on, Strat?
Not much. Pretty excited about this one, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I would say this interview and most amazing story we've ever uncovered on the part train.
Yeah, apart from my legendary knockdown 300-yard 8-irons, yeah, truly some fair of the most inspirational stuff you'll hear here on the part train.
So we had Oliver Horvitz. We've had him on. For your loyal listeners, we had him on over a year and a half ago. He was the New York Times bestselling author for An American Caddy at St. Andrews. Incredible book. He is a writer, filmmaker, and he's come out with a new story about Pratima Sherpa, who is the number one female golfer in Nepal, who, by the way, Nepal is a country that has never had a pro female golfer, and that's her goal. And this story... Strat, let me put it into perspective, because mm-hmm, I don't think we can overstate it enough.
Yeah.
She lives in a maintenance shed off the fourth green at Royal Nepal Golf Club. Okay, it's 200 square feet. They get the back half of the shed, her and her two parents. Her parents make $19 combined a month, and her dad cut her down a branch from the jungle,
mm-hmm,
and she started learning how to hit golf balls with a stick. And 3 months later, won her first tournament after being given clubs by the golf course after they heard about her. And now she's won over 30 times. It's just an unbelievable story.
Yeah. If you came to me asking to greenlight this film, I'd laugh you out of the building because I would say that it's complete bullshit, but it's not. It actually happened and is happening. And it really is unbelievable. As we talked with Ollie, it just kind of got more and more incredible the more details that emerge about Pratima and her unbelievable story. So this is a cool listen.
Yeah, and Ollie goes into, she even got the chance to meet and have a lesson from Tiger
Woods, y'all.
Yeah, I mean, he taught her the stinger, maybe. I mean, you'll just have to wait and tune in. But this is an incredible interview. It even ends because of Ollie's experience over in Scotland. We pick his brain about Carnoustie, since the Open Championship will be there later this summer. What he tells us some really interesting tidbits about Carnoustie, the comparisons of that and the rivalry between Carnoustie and St. Andrews, and then obviously the types of players we should watch out for. So, yeah, this is a good one.
Agreed. Enjoy.
And we're back for another part train. We've got Oliver Horvitz on the line, writer, filmmaker, and caddy, written about golf, Sports Illustrated, Golf Digest, Golf World. The list goes on. Ollie, this is your second time on the par train. Pleasure to have you. What's going on?
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm excited to talk about what we're talking about today.
So we're talking about Pratima Sherpa and the amazing story in the documentary that you helped produce. But before we dive in, tell us, you told us a little bit about the golf course in Nepal the last time you were on over a year and a half ago. And you said that there's monkeys on the course, and a lot of times they'll actually steal the golf ball because they think it's an egg. I wanted to ask you, what's it like standing over a tee shop knowing a monkey could run by at any time and steal your ball?
It's unlike any other course I've played. It's called Royal Nepal Golf Club. It's one of about six courses in Nepal. There's only 700 golfers in Nepal for a country of 31 million people. And this one is sort of the gem. Oldest golf club in Nepal, turned 100 last year. And yeah, there's hundreds of monkeys, and it is awesome.
I would love to play just for that. It's incredible. Although I could see it could be a little unnerving over the ball.
And it's got so much character, this course, as well. I mean, your two of the holes, the fifth and sixth hole, are on the grounds of this huge temple that is alongside next door to the course. So you're literally playing on holy land for two of the holes.
Wow. What's the scoring average on those?
Well, you know, they're both par three, so very low. Okay. The whole course is nine holes. You play it twice, and it's very frenetic because you just have people hitting at you from like all angles. The driving range goes into the ninth fairway, and I remember realizing pretty quickly that if a ball is coming at your head, the person who hit it will just say ball very casually. instead of four. So it's throughout the round, you really feel like it's target golf. But the course is fantastic. and it's really an experience unlike any other round that I'd ever had when we first were there in 2016.
So Ollie, you know that I'm a big fan of your writing. Your book Caddy at St. Andrews is still one of my favorite books out there. So if you haven't read that, a quick plug for your book. It's incredible. Basically the blend of college and caddying at St. Andrews. I don't know how you could get better than that. But your recent Golf Digest article, if you guys want to check it out, just Google Pratima Sherpa Golf Digest. It'll pop right up. I want to read a quote from it, and then I want you to tell me a bit more. So, quote, it's Saturday afternoon, Pratima's film festival premiere. Pratima's host family have flown in, so many others. This is what Pratima does. She connects people. She makes them feel happy. She radiates peace, innocence, hope. I'm not sure I've ever watched someone on screen that makes you feel so good and want to do good. So I wanted you to start with Pratima as a person, because you obviously know her really well. Let's just start there and tell us about her as a person, because it's a crazy backstory. And I think it's more than just a golf story.
Sure. I mean, I met her in 2016. I was over in Nepal, as we mentioned before, and there were two of my buddies, Miles Ashton and Vlad Weinstein. We were actually there to climb to Everest Base Camp. But then I was writing a piece for Lynx Magazine about all the golf courses in Nepal. And everyone at Royal Nepal was like, you have to meet this girl, Pratima. And she was 17 then. She was and is living in a shed on the fourth hole of Royal Nepal Golf Club. And, oh, yeah, she's the number one female golfer in Nepal. So the day after we heard about her, I met her on the first tee of Royal Nepal. She comes up. She's wearing a nice golf shirt, which I later found out was the nicer of the two golf shirts that she owned. And, you know, I caddied at St. Andrews for 11 summers. It's how I get to know people, is on a golf course. And I was like, you know what? Let's go play. Let's just get away from everyone. I'll go caddy for you, and let's go play nine holes. And so we do that, and instantly she blows me away with how awesome her swing is, how great her game is. She's really, really good. And we just go out and we play. And for me, it was very moving, because I'm just looking at Pratima, who is inspiring me every second that I'm getting to know her. And I meet her parents in the shed. And this shed, by the way, is like 200 square feet is their living area. She's still there. She's in the shed right this minute with her mom and dad. They both work at Royal Nepal Golf Club. And Pratima was 11 years old when she was sort of discovered by one of the pros at Royal Nepal and given lessons. And the Nepal Golf Association heard about her and started supporting her with golf clubs. And she played in tournaments. She started winning every tournament like they have. I think she's won something like 31 golf tournaments. And you go into the shed and there's like no running water. There's like not electricity. But guess what? There's a trophy cabinet like bursting with all trophies that she's won. So Miles, Vlad, and I meet her and we're like, oh, my God, this girl is special. So I wrote a Golf Digest piece about her and went on Golf Channel, spoke about her and started a fundraiser with Miles and Vlad. And through the fundraiser, we got a really cool email from this nice family in California, the Montanos. And they're also in the ESPN documentary. The Montanos donated to the fundraiser. I basically just emailed Tanya back, the mother, to say thank you. And she said, by the way, we would love to host Pratima in California if you can get her there. And I was like, huh, that's pretty interesting. That would be really cool. The next thing you know, like 2 months later, it's all set up. Pratima gets her visa, gets on a plane for the first time in her life, and goes to California and had 2 months of sun, training. She worked with Don Parsons, the number one. He's like, in my book, one of the best teachers in California. He's an amazing instructor. And the whole thing has sort of gone from there. It's really cool.
That experience has to be crazy. I mean, like you said, first time on a plane, you know, first time leaving home. What kind of adjustment, or how do you think that she handled that aspect? Because I mean, as Evan mentioned, she seems so gracious and humble and kind of accepting of all of the events that have unfolded. You know, like I wonder if things like that are difficult, or if she just kind of goes with the flow.
It's a great point. That's a really good question, because she's now 18. And I think about when I was 18, I went to University of St. Andrews for a year, and that was a big deal, just leaving New York and going to Scotland. being away from my family for the first time. She lives in a shed, guys, and she gets on a plane and goes to America. And it's the first time she's left Nepal, obviously. And I just can't believe how well she has handled the whole thing. It's the equivalent of, like, let's say the three of us wanted to be professional mountain climbers. And everyone told us, if you want to be a professional mountain climber, you got to leave America, got to leave California, New York. You got to go to the Himalayas and climb every day in the Himalayas. You got to move to, say, you know, Tibet or Nepal. It's a huge thing. Yeah. And she gets to California, and she rides a bike for the first time. She goes in the ocean for the first time. She's eating ice cream, and she's winning golf tournaments on the junior tour in Ventura. I'm just like, how is she handling this so maturely? But that's Fatima. Every step of the way, she has been just inspiring, mature, heroic. It's been just like the coolest thing to watch. Like, oh my God, she makes me so proud.
So in the documentary, it says that she won a tournament 3 months after she picked up the game of golf, which, by the way, she picked up the game of golf by her dad going to the jungle and carving her a piece of wood that kind of looked like the Happy Gilmore putter. In the
yeah, he chopped down a branch from a tree in Rural Nepal and made her a little, you know, a little club to hit from, and then soon after she was given real clubs by the NGA, and she's had for a long time the instruction of a very wonderful, very kindly pro named Sachin Bhattare, who's one of the pros at Rural Nepal, and he's never charged her for her lessons. So her swing has gotten really good. You can see from the ESPN documentary just how good she's gotten. And to give the backstory on that, because that's pretty cool as well. I was approached by an ESPN producer named Kristen Lapis, who had read the Golf Digest piece and heard about Pratima. And ESPN starts shooting a documentary about her right around the time she's set to come over to California this past summer. And so that's really cool. They start filming. They're over there in California filming her. And the piece got edited. Tom Rinaldi was the wonderful reporter. And, you know, you hear his voice in the piece. And the film just came out last month, and it premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival. And I know I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but the coolest part about that was ESPN flew Pratima over to New York for the red carpet and for the premiere of Tribeca. That was super cool.
That's incredible. She might even have an accolade that Tiger doesn't, to win a tournament 3 months after she starts picking up the game of golf.
Yeah.
And then suddenly at the Tribeca Film Festival.
It's kind of mentioned in the documentary, and, you know, forgive my ignorance here, but there's chatter about how difficult it is for her as a woman, and especially in a country where the demarcation between those who have and those who don't have is pretty stark. What kind of challenges, if any, have arisen with her being a poor female and trying to, you know, battle into this sport that is so dominated by rich men? Is that something that she's had to deal with, or has there been support to kind of help her get over those barriers?
Well, let's just say there's never been a female golf professional in the history of Nepal, ever. And she is trying to literally make history in her country. You know, if she succeeds, she's the first ever female golf pro in Nepal. So, I mean, just right there, that's staggering, right? So I'm sure she feels it. You know, she's playing at Rural Nepal, and people are watching through the fence at her playing, and they're watching because they're shocked to see a woman playing golf. That's just, it doesn't really happen that much. I mean, sure, there's women golfers, but what she's doing is certainly remarkable for this country. And what's kind of also really cool is that when she's playing, she's watched by all of the people who work at the golf course, all the people that are tending the greens, that are the workers there who are co-workers of her parents. And so, you know, that's another thing I noticed while I'm caddying for her and she's playing, is all of the women tending the greens in these beautiful flowing orange and red saris are looking on proudly because she's one of them.
That's awesome.
And she's doing it. And, you know, it's a movie. It's just like a movie. She's every, you know, it's like every sort of you know, every sort of barrier that the game of golf historically has presented for those without privilege is being, in a sense, it's being just overcome by Pratima whenever she tees it up. It's super cool.
So tell us about her meeting. I know you cover this in the Golf Digest article, but maybe take us behind the scenes. She got to meet her hero, Tiger Woods, I think the next day or before the film festival, right? Take us through that experience.
So Tiger Woods is her hero. That's her hero. She, you know, is, I mean, how cool is that? That 8,000 miles away from America.
I'm incredibly jealous.
Right. So, you know, someone who lives in a shed in Nepal is never going to meet Tiger Woods. That's just not going to happen, right? Like that's her hero. She'll get to maybe see him playing on TV when she gets access to watching a tournament, you know, but that's as far as it's going to go, right? So last year, Tiger wrote her a letter. He heard about her through reading the Golf Digest article. A member who of the sort of a donor of the Tiger Woods Foundation told him about her. I was able to go down and speak to Rick Singer, who heads up the Tiger Woods Foundation. And Tiger Woods heard about her and was like blown away. He was so impressed, and he wrote her this awesome letter. And guess what? The letter's framed and in her shed. Like it's her. You know, it's like a family heirloom now. So that was last year. And so this year, she flies in for the Tribeca Film Festival. She's at, like, you know, on the red carpet. It's as cool as you can imagine it is. It's just such an amazing moment. And then one of the guys who was watching at the premiere was a friend of mine, this guy David Fontanella, who is, again, a supporter of the Tiger Woods Foundation. And he comes out of the screening. He's like, Oliver, I just thought of this. I'm going down to Tiger's foundation event in 2 days in Jupiter at the Medalist. We need to get Pratima there. And I was like, yeah, let's do that. And David makes some calls, and he called Rick Singer, called Glenn Greenspan, called Tiger's team. And they asked Tiger, and Tiger said, hell yes. And 2 days later, Pratima was flown down by David. He covered the whole thing. She's down in Jupiter. I was down 10 feet away from her, and she meets Tiger Woods. And I'll never forget that moment, because she's standing there. She's like, her heart is about to explode out of her body. She's so nervous. We're just waiting, waiting, waiting. A cart pulls up. It's Tiger. And the first thing he says, and I will literally always remember this, he goes, Pratima! And she goes, hi, Tiger. And they do this huge hug. And I'm just like, everybody is crying. Everybody around us who's watching it is crying, because we're just thinking of how far this young lady has come. And it's all like, this is literally the best moment of her life playing out 10 feet in front of us. It's happening. It's like a Disney film, but it's actually real life. And she met Tiger. She had a lesson from him. I'm watching them at the driving range, just him and her, like by themselves. And they're hitting balls together. And, you know, and like at that point, guys, the narrative of, you know, of the young Nepali woman meeting her hero, that fades. And now it's two athletes just warming up together, just two golfers who have overcome huge, huge odds, huge barriers by, you know, their race, their, you know, socioeconomic background. They're hitting balls together, and they're just very pleased to be in each other's company. And that was like, that's an even cooler moment right there, because I'm just like, yep, they're two golfers and they're both really, really good at what they do.
That's so awesome. I mean, a lesson from Tiger is the dream. I have to ask, did he teach her the stinger?
Well, he hit the stinger soon after, because he did a clinic about 20 minutes later for all the foundation people. And, you know, seeing Tiger up close, he's awesome. Like, he is so back. The stinger was in full force. He's hitting these 80-yard hooks. He's hitting these sky-high, like, flop shots. And then he turns to everyone and he goes, hey, I got a special guest who I want to come up and meet you guys. Her name's Pratima Sherpa. And Pratima had no idea that she was even going to, like, hit balls in front of them. He brings her up. She's wearing sandals because she didn't know she was going to, you know, even hold a club. Tiger gives her his driver. She takes off her shoes, so she's swinging barefoot. And as she's warming up, Tiger is literally like, he's like her publicist. He's telling her, like, everyone, her backstory, her playing resume. He used to play on the same tour junior tour in California that she played on last summer.
Jesus.
And she hit his driver, and she's over the ball with his driver. I'm thinking, if I were her, I would be literally whiffing. I'd be so nervous. You know what she did? She crushed both her drives.
Oh, my God. Wow. That's unbelievable.
It was so cool.
She needs that tour-level shaft, and, you know?
And here's the deal. She does that. It's like, you know, it's just a dream. About an hour later, we're back on a plane. We're back to New York. It's the second showing of her of the film, the ESPN film at Tribeca. And the next morning, she's back on a flight to Kathmandu. And the next night after that, she's back in her shed. So Jesus. That in itself is wild. You know, she's just had this whirlwind week of Tribeca Film Festival, red carpet, meeting Tiger Woods. And then she's back in the shed, and I'm thinking, like, how can someone even handle that? Like, that is, it's just so different. I mean, you go from this, the highest of highs, and then you are back in your home, but you're back in, you know, a very different setup. So that's the reality. She's still in the shed. All of this exposure, all this media attention, it's wonderful, but she's still in the shed. So the journey of Pratima is just beginning. And it's been really fun to be, I get hopefully a little part in helping her get to the next level in her career.
So, Ali, I read that in your article, from the red carpet at Tribeca, lesson from Tiger Woods. How can someone then go back to the shed? And I was thinking to myself, how does she go back to the shed? Like, she could go, I'm sure, go back to her host family in California with all the media opportunities. Like, how do you think she does it? That's got to be such a crazy mental challenge.
Here's the thing about Pratima. She, Nepal is the most important thing in her life. And her parents and family are the most important thing, as it is in Nepal. Family is valued so, so highly. It's wonderful. And her dreams are not just about herself. Her dreams are to inspire the next generation of golfers in Nepal, of female golfers in Nepal. When you hear Pratima talk, she's not just talking about individual glory. She's talking about wanting to have a golf school later in life, wanting to take other young women under her wing and inspire them. She understands the role that she's playing in her country, and that she's sort of I wouldn't say an icon, because she's so modest, she would never think like that. But she understands that she's got this important place here's a great example. What did she do when she met Tiger? She gave him a hat from Royal Nepal Golf Club. She told Tiger all about golf in Nepal.
That's awesome. Like,
that's pretty big for an 18-year-old to have that you know, worldly view. So that's why it's cool to be back in Nepal for her. You know, she doesn't think of it as like, oh, I'm back in the shed. That's us, you know.
Yeah.
We understand the reality that it's a really tough circumstance. But you know what? When you guys watch the ESPN doc, she calls the shed, it's her lucky shed. It's her lucky home, because it's allowed her to play golf. Just by being on the fourth hole of Royal Nepal Golf Club, it's off to the right-hand side of the fourth tee. That's the only reason she's able to play golf, and not just play, but dominate. So in some ways, it is the lucky shed. It is her lucky home. But now it's the big question of what comes next, because her dream is to become the first ever female golf pro in Nepal. And so what does that mean? That means she needs a ton of support. She needs the best equipment. I've always thought of it as, Pratima, you're a competitive athlete. I want you to have every single element that basically the rich kids who you're competing against get to have. And so that means the best equipment, instruction, travel to tournaments, entry fees, everything. So that's why we started the fundraiser, which is at teampratima.com. And it's basically a way for people who hear about her story to actually join Team Pratima and help her out. And it's covering every single component that any other aspiring pro golfer should have, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a perfect segue, because my question was going to be, knowing that Nepal is so important to her and that family is so important to her, what does that journey look like? Is she going to be entering, you know, tournaments in different countries? Is she going to be traveling around, you know, Asia, India? Like, what does that kind of that roadmap look like for her to try to,
sure,
you know, achieve her goal?
Nepali Nepali Q School is where you actually earn your tour card, and it's in September every year. And she actually played in it this past September, and it was really tough because monsoon season in Nepal, when it's torrential rain, is every summer. This past year, it was very late, and the greens were incredibly, incredibly slow, and the course was wet, soaked. And guess where she'd just come from? She'd come from playing in Ventura, California, on greens that are running 12 or 13 on the stimp meter. And so, you know, the Nepali Q School was, it was its normal time, but it was just coming out of monsoon season. And you got to get through Q School to become a pro in Nepal. And so what it is, it's 20, 25, 30 people playing in it, all men, apart from Pratima. And you got to shoot three rounds and come in the top five to get your card. And she played in it last year. And as you'll see in the documentary, she did not qualify for it. She came really, really close. But on the greens, it was tough because she was used to, like, essentially, you know, the equivalent of Augusta greens. They were so fast compared to where rural Nepal was at that early in the season. So it was tough for her. But this next September coming up, I think she's got a really good chance of achieving this.
And you said she's playing with all guys. There's no other women.
There's no other women competing in Q School. There are, you know, there are female members of rural Nepal, and she does compete against them and usually wins. But in Nepali Q School, it was wild to see her. I was back there for Q School for the week. ESPN was shooting, and you're looking at her getting her instructions the first day as Deepak Acharya, who was helping to run the Q School tournament, was reading out the rules. I'm looking at this group of all the competitors, and there's Pratima, and it's just all dudes around her.
Jesus.
Thinking, that's intimidating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, like you
oh,
said,
yeah,
you
she's
can't...
off the men's tees too. She has to play off the men's tees in Q School. Yeah. So that's totally weird. You know,
it's like you said, you really can't write this shit. Like it is
yeah.
every come from behind sports movie you've ever heard. And it's happening in front of us in real life. And it's unreal. It's, I can't believe that she's doing so well in a field of all guys from the men's tees. Like that is phenomenal. I mean, does that rattle her at all, or is it just something where she's like, this is what I've got to do. I've got to play with these guys. I got to play for these
guys. I would watch her on the first tee of Q School last year, and I was basically having just a panic attack. Like, I was just so worried. and same thing when she was playing in her tournaments in Ventura, because I flew out there to check it out as well. And I was like, you know, I was basically like the soccer mom for her. I was like running water over. I was like, Pratima, keep drinking water. It's very hot. But I'm watching her tee off in Q School, basically just not trying to like faint. And she, again, crushed one down the middle to open up Q School. And I look over, I'm like, how the hell did you do that? That's insane. She like, crushed one like 240 down the middle.
Jesus.
And she, you know, she wasn't nervous. She played tee to green. She was really good. It's just like everything was coming up short, because the greens were super wet still, and she, you know, she was still thinking she was in Ventura. She just gotten back like a week before Q School. So where does she go from here after Q School? If you get past it, you'll play tournaments on, there's a tour in Nepal. They have, I think it's like 10 events, maybe just a few under that. But she'll also play, like hopefully she'll be playing in Southeast Asia. She'll be playing in tournaments in Vietnam and Thailand. Maybe tournaments in India. She actually just played in a tournament in Vietnam, the Nick Faldo Jr. Series, which she qualified for. The finals were in Vietnam like 2 months ago, and the NGA paid for her to go over, and she got to meet Nick Faldo and stuff as well. So that was really cool. So yeah, she'll be playing tournaments in Southeast Asia, I'm sure. But again, the first step is you got to get through Q School. That's the first step in Nepal to get your card. And that moment, you know, she wants to go beyond that, but that moment will, if and when she does it, it's going to be literally historic for that country.
So Ali, think back to the moment you first visited, right? You didn't even know about Pratima. And now think about winning a sports Emmy. Congrats, by the way. On a Tom Rinaldi narrated, who I don't know if you could get a better voice than Tom Rinaldi.
Agreed.
Narrated documentary with ESPN, What have you learned from this story and this process?
Well, I've learned a lot from Pratima, and you know, she's my hero now for sure. You know, I went to Nepal initially. You know, we wanted to go climb to Everest Base Camp. That was the reason we booked the trip initially. And then I found out there were golf courses there, and got this Lynx magazine article commissioned. And so it was so happenstance that we ended up there on the first tee at Royal Nepal talking to Pratima. And I talked to Miles and Vlad, my buddies, who are a huge part of Team Pratima as well, and the fundraiser and everything. And it's the same thing. We're like, we knocked on that shed door, and, you know, if we hadn't done that, her life would be different, but our lives would be different. And, you know, through the whole thing, it's taught me just how good you feel helping out a little bit. You know, it's like selfishly, I do this because it makes me feel so good, you know, to help someone else out, and to see Pratima and how far she's come. It just makes you feel good, and it takes a village, and there's a whole group, you know, who have joined Team Pratima to help her. And it's an entire community now who just loves Pratima, and everyone, when we talk, it's just so fun because everyone is inspired by her. I mean, how about this? When the film festival selected the documentary, when Tribeca selected it, a lot of Team Pratima members flew in from around the country to attend the screening. So people who had donated to the fundraiser, a family flew in. This guy Mark and his family flew in from Toronto for the premiere. This is just what Pratima does. And I wrote about it in the Golf Digest piece. It's like whenever she goes somewhere, people just love her, and people are so inspired by her, and it just makes everybody happy. It's the warmth of Pratima. It's the Nepali spirit. It's just really, really, really wonderful to be a small part of.
Like I said, and like you said, the story is unbelievable. The documentary is awesome. The article is incredible. And I think it's also a really great example of what golf can be for so many different people. It's often, you know, we've talked about before in other episodes, it's viewed as this game for rich white guys. But the fact of the matter is, it can appeal to such a wide array of people from all cuts of life. And it couldn't be a more perfect example of the power of the game. And speaking of the power of the game, we know that your lineage runs deep in this game. Used to caddy at St. Andrews. You know, we've got the British Open coming up at Carnoustie. What can you tell us? What kind of insider tips, tricks, things that we should be looking for can you give us, you know, leading up into the big tournament?
Sure. I love Carnoustie. I've caddied there in the Dunhill for Huey Lewis.
And the News?
5 or 6 years. Yeah, Huey Lewis and the News.
Jesus.
Poor Huey right now, actually. I don't know if you heard, but he's fighting this this really crazy inner ear thing, which is affecting his hearing. And he actually had to take some time off from touring and playing right now. So Jesus. I'm sending him best wishes for recovery there. But Huey's a big golfer, and I've caddied for him at Carnoustie. And guys, Carnoustie, which we call Carnasty, is a hell of a golf course. Oh my God. I'll put it this way. It's really, year to year, it's in the best condition of almost any course in Scotland. The greenkeeper there is fantastic. And you know, the Dunhill's on three courses. It's Kingsbarns, Carnoustie, and the Old Course. And the one that gets me the most nervous is Carnoustie, for sure. Like, I go there every year. I'll go there, like, as soon as you can first see anything on the green, when the sun just comes up, and I'll walk the course to find out where the pins are and stuff, and you get the runouts in the practice rounds. Carnoustie, the genius of that course is that for the amateurs, for the pros, whoever's playing it, you have to think on almost every single tee shot, because bunkers come into play. The runouts are so perfect for both pros and amateurs, like in the Dunhill, that if you're not careful, if you go to sleep on any of the tee shots, you're just going to be in a bunker off the tee. Like, there's almost nothing where you're just like, okay, I'm going to bomb it out there, no problem. So off the tee, it's pretty penal.
So Tiger, Stinger iron all day.
Of course.
You know, that's going to work. It's there's a lot of trouble around these greens. The finishing three holes are insane. You have the 16th hole, that long par three that sometimes if the wind's into, you got to hit driver sometimes. And then you have 17 and 18, which are total beasts. Oh my God. It's really some of the hardest finishing three holes I've ever seen on any course. You know, there's a fair amount of rivalry between all the Caddyshacks in Scotland and certainly between Carnoustie and the old course. And apparently if American golfers are playing Carnoustie and they're like brutally overwhelmed and they ask their caddies like, man, when did the easy holes start? The caddies say, when you get to St. Andrews. And they're right.
That's incredible.
But it's going to be great. I'm so pumped to be watching it this year. You know, it's always fun when it goes to Carnoustie.
What kind of player is going to do well there?
You know, I don't know. It's going to be really like all types because it's going to be a fair amount of luck in terms of the weather, in terms of when you go out in the draw, early or late. We'll definitely play a difference. I always feel like on the first day of the Open, wherever it is in Scotland or in England, so often the first round leader is someone you haven't heard of, because then you look at their highlight reel for the day and they've shot like 6 or 7 under, and you see on the highlight thing, they've had 5 bounces that were just out of control, where it hits a hump and goes to like a foot away. And then the second round, magically, it doesn't happen for them. But so it's a lot of luck involved, especially early in the tournament. But, you know, you got to be accurate and you got to be brave. You got to really be fearless. 6th hole, Hogan's Alley, is, I think, one of the scariest tee shots on that course, besides perhaps the tee shot on 18, which is also freaking like terrifying. 6 is called Hogan's Alley. There's out of bounds left. There's a ton of bunkers down the middle and to the right, and you either play a kind of like wimp shot with a hybrid or an iron down to the right, or you take out driver and you thread this needle of out of bounds and bunkers into like what seems like a 10-foot landing slot.
Oh.
And in the Dunhill anyway, that's when you see which pros are feeling good and which are like scared as hell.
Is this the one where Hogan put like 3 shots in the exact same spot each time in that little tiny fairway?
That's correct. Okay. And here's a little insider. I don't know what the hell this would be classified as, but when you're on the old course on 16, if you turn around and look back down the 16th fairway, the way the course originally would be played in reverse, it looks exactly like a replica of Hogan's Alley, number 6 on Carnoustie.
Oh.
It's kind of interesting.
Oh,
I don't like
so
that.
For anybody playing the old course, if you want to see Hogan's Alley perfect replica, turn back from 16 green and look back, and between the principal's nose bunker and out of bounds on the left, you got yourself the St. Andrews version of number 6 Hogan's Alley.
Hogan's Alley's backside. I like it.
Love that. I birdied 16.
Exactly.
All right. So, Ollie, we're going to get you out of here on this. I know we're out of time. What's next for you?
You know, I got a couple things coming up, but basically I want to keep traveling. I want to keep finding stories like Pratima. And, you know, for me, the idea of going somewhere that's 8,000 miles away and then having golf connect you to someone like Pratima and have something in common is really, really cool. And so you guys know that I've done a bunch of stuff where I've gone and found golf in unexpected places, be it Iceland or Saudi Arabia or the Australian outback. And I want to do a lot more of that because that makes me really happy. So a lot more golf travels coming up in the future.
Yeah, you just find a place for podcasters to join you, and Strat and I will be right there with you.
I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, that sounds
definitely some travel, buddy.
That sounds fantastic. Well, thanks so much for coming on. I'm going to close with a quote from Pratima, because I think we could all use a little perspective, you know, before we slam our driver into the tee box when we miss one right. She said, "Golf is my passion. Golf is my best friend, so I cannot lose." So on that note, thanks so much for coming on. Google Pratima Sherpa Golf Digest. The article will pop right up. Go to teampratima.com to donate and support her journey. I did it yesterday. Ollie, you're right. It feels amazing to do it. And watch A Mountain to Climb ESPN documentary. It's fantastic. So, Ollie, enjoy the British, the Open Championship in a couple months.
Yeah.
And we'll be cheering for you and Pratima, as I'm sure more exciting things are coming.
Thank you, guys. Thanks so much for having me, and thanks for helping to share the word of Pratima. It's really cool.
Thanks, Ollie.
All right, take care.